All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, May 18th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Big Game, the I Davis.
Say with an exclamation point, like we have some emails that are coming from people. All right, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com is the site, dfsr.com for short. Here to get you started to keep winning FanDuel and or DraftKings, head on over to the site, dfsr.com/MLB. We'll get you started with a free 3-day trial of our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. You know the drill, free for 3 days and then just $29.95 a month and you're all good to go. We've got a Friday in MLB. I'm running a little late for the podcast, so we're going to need you to do a lot of the heavy lifting here. Not usually the case, but running a little late getting started with the podcast. I don't have nearly as many of the research tabs open as I usually have, which is usually a bad sign. But we have an interesting day of baseball. There's going to be some weather stuff. People probably still freaking out about the Cubs and Braves just getting postponed last night. It's easy to point to weathermen and think that like they get everything wrong, and then people don't understand the probabilistic nature of how weather, rain can just keep going and you can't predict it 100%. But we get a day after we talked about the problematic piece of baseball with weather and how to kind of best use it and understand it. We had some pretty chalky plays that just got postponed last night. So I wouldn't let that, there's going to be some weather stuff that comes up tonight. I wouldn't let one game inform whether or not like your weatherman of choice or weather woman of choice is like correct about whether
I would expect 100% accuracy. That's why when I talk to people on the street, I'm like, these weathermen, you know, they just don't know anything. They might as well.
You should get a job as a weather. Everyone I know that likes to just talk in hyperbole thinks that they could be the weatherman. So that's one of my favorites.
I think it's one of the least accurate perceptions. The least accurate common perceptions is that weathermen don't know what they're doing. Like, if you just ask the average person to be like, you know what your new job is? You just have to predict the temperature and the precipitation for tomorrow. That's your whole thing. And if you can outperform the weatherman, if I could find an average person on the street that could do that, I would put like $1 million bounty on it or higher. Like, these, the weathermen are absolutely legitimately incredible at what they do.
The other one that falls into that one is like, I could write a book. I should write a book about it. That's the other one I love to hear from people is like, oh, I should write a book about this. Be like, dude, you can't write a book. It's impossible. Anyway, but I think I'm with you that I think probably more people would think they could be the weatherman. All right, so we have some weather issues today. We do have some good pitching going where that we might run into some of this weather stuff, so we can kind of talk about that. After a day where yesterday was one of the worst all-time pitching just amount of choices you had. It was like Tyler Skaggs ends up being the very best arm going on the whole slate, and the rest, it was just a kind of a drop off. After that, we have a different situation here where we do have some guys who are, well, some elite level aces and maybe possibly some underpriced arms as well. Let's start talking. You know, Scherzer is very expensive. He's 14,000 on FanDuel. He's 14,000 on DraftKings, and he's 11,600 on FanDuel. He faces the Dodgers, -210 favorite opening. Looks like there was some rain in the forecast, but the wind is blowing in. Obviously, with any Scherzer run line, it's very, very low. It's over under starting at 7. So really only right around 3 implied runs for the Dodgers, maybe a tick less. Do you see him as the guy to pay up for here? I mean, 14,000, is that too much on DraftKings? It's so expensive to consider. I mean, again, this is about as expensive as you'll ever see a pitcher. And yet, he seems like he's just so far and away the best guy here. Is it worth paying up for him? And do you think there's like, I mean, is it worth paying up for him in both sites? It seems like it's easier on FanDuel.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely easier on FanDuel. It's interesting on DraftKings right now. Basically, there are a couple guys that have crept towards the top of our DraftKings system that, you know, are kind of in contention with playing Scherzer. Because our system just wants to play DeGrom. That's like, you know, at $9,800, the $4,000 savings is too much to pass up on. I mean, DeGrom is like no slouch in his own right. Obviously, he's not as good as the 1.83 ERA would suggest, but 11.37 Ks per nine, 2.8 walks per nine. Again, it's poor man's Scherzer number. Scherzer's better at striking people out and at not walking people. So Scherzer's definitely better overall. But DeGrom is just simply quite a good pitcher. One thing that DeGrom gets a little bump for, you know, in comparison with Scherzer, and we're splitting hairs here, but he generates a lot more ground balls. So theoretically, fly balls should be, or home runs should be less of an issue for DeGrom. It hasn't played out quite that way with Scherzer so far this year. But if you look at his historical rates, he's never been one to generate many ground balls, and he typically hovers around 10% home run to fly ball. So the 6.8 he has so far definitely represents a little bit of good luck there. So I think the $4,200 savings is enough to make DeGrom my top guy on DraftKings. But the real guy is, can you play Scherzer alongside him? Because the cheap to middling options are not that impressive, at least as far as our system is concerned right now. And so I think for that reason, you might even wind up thinking about going double expensive at pitcher tonight.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Like right now, the Scherzer DeGrom lineup is less, and again, this is not, I always caveat this by saying it's about 10 o'clock Eastern time, so we have, there's lots of information that we do not have, namely batting lineups, right? So typically, we've said many times that if the two expensive guys are close, the batting lineup coming in only helps the expensive pitchers because you tend to get, you're only going to get cheaper guys coming at the top of the food chain that we haven't predicted, like in our base lineups for teams, right? We have our lineup set for what the teams usually run, and what they usually run are the most expensive guys on said teams. And anytime you get someone hitting leadoff, they just tend to be cheaper if you want to play them as a pump play. So all that being said, right now less than a point away to do the Scherzer DeGrom lineup on DraftKings than what we have now. My guess is that it probably gets there. I mean, Scherzer from a projection standpoint, we haven't projected for 6 points more than the next six more DraftKings points than the next highest guy, who's DeGrom. So that is just some kind of spread, and it's only the 14,000. What scares you a little bit about DeGrom, he pitched only one inning in his last start. And this is a very Metsian thing to do, is that he goes out, there was a rain delay, and he had something like a 40-pitch inning, if I remember, and they just pulled him after one inning. And they said, and they're like, and people were like, well, is he hurt? Yeah, they're like, is he hurt? They're like, no. He's not going to pitch anymore. I was like, what? So, and that was just kind of the end of his day. So it's kind of like hashtag Mets. They just seem to just do crazy things. Their guys get hurt in really weird ways. They just do stuff that doesn't seem to make any sense. This followed the same path. Maybe it was the right thing to do. Like,
I don't mind it. Yeah. It's not good for our DFS purposes, but for real life purposes, it seems reasonable.
And only four innings the game before that, which it had been 11 days, but I believe that was that game where he got hurt, where he got where they thought he had been hurt when he was taking an at-bat, and then he had six strikeouts in four innings. So if you look at his recent game log, this is what's specifically driving the price down. That's my point, right? Like, he's had these two very wonky games. One was the rain delay with the pitch, but the other was gets hurt in an at-bat, and now that's why the price is under 10. There's no other reason to suspect that he's not just on a full pitch count here and ready to go. I think you're going to see him as the overwhelming chalk, and it's correct. Vegas sure thinks that he's just going to pitch the whole game, -155 with a 7-over/under. So, yeah, long story short, I do think we end up seeing Scherzer, DeGrom, and I think that represents the two, probably, you know, the two top plays, at least on FanDuel. Now, if we want to pivot to someone cheaper on either site, really, is there a guy that you see as being in a good spot for less? I mean, you have some other names here, Morton, Newcomb, Clevenger. I guess that's kind of it when it comes to the guys that I would maybe trust as having some upside. Any of those guys stand out to you, or anyone I'm missing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's other guys basically for upside that I'm kind of looking at. So I like Newcomb. I mean, I think he's actually a really, really interesting prospect in terms of upside. He's got the Marlins tonight, who, you know, we've talked about many times. They're simply a terrible hitting team. It's kind of weird with the Marlins because, like a lot of light hitting teams, they don't strike out a whole heck of a lot. They're actually, I think it's only, they're only like a, they're like a top four team in terms of preventing strikeouts for left-handed pitchers. And so, you know, for that reason, a little bit of the luster comes off Newcomb, especially because he's just really, really strikeout dependent. 10.4 Ks per nine is awesome, but the last two seasons, the control has been a real issue. I mean, he's averaging 4.85 walks per nine over the last 2 years, so I don't think he can be called anything close to safe. The ERA, it looks like a bit of run hot to me as well. The BABIP at just 261 seems destined to come back up. If the BABIP comes back up, you're going to see fewer innings per start. Generally, innings per start should be a huge problem for a guy like this anyway, who runs tons and tons of deep counts. So the upside is certainly there on Newcomb. We've seen him have some electric performances. He's still really young. There could still be plenty of room for growth here, but just know you're going to get some bad with that good as well. And that's the only guy I would consider, like, you know, for upside on, say, FanDuel or something like that. On DraftKings, the pitcher two slot's interesting. I mean, if you don't go Scherzer, DeGrom, you got a couple options. I mean, you threw some out there. I'll throw Ross Stripling out there as well. He's obviously not got a great matchup with the Nats and facing off against Scherzer for the win potential. But I guess in my mind and in the system's mind, it's kind of a toss-up between him and Ivan Nova. Who, if you had to pick one of those guys, who would you land on?
Well, Stripling's 4,200, right? So, like, this is one of those ones where how long is he going to go into the game? Because if you can get a pitcher at 4,200 he's been striking out. Now, some of this is out of the bullpen, so it's not a total one-to-one comp about what you can do in terms of your peripherals, because it's much easier from a peripheral side to pitch out of the bullpen because you're walking into basically perfect matchups. But in his three starts, specifically his last one, the reason I'm most encouraged is because his starts are now consecutive. Three of his four starts He had one bullpen work in between those two. But he increased the innings over the last two. So four innings in his second to last start, and then five and a third after in the last one. That was a good matchup against Cincinnati in LA. So he gets, this is the Washington matchup is much worse. But man, 4,200 really makes you think about what you can get in terms of bats. Because if you think he's going to go five innings where anything like a strikeout an inning, or even less, honestly, like that, yep. 4,200 is just not, you just never get this kind of pricing and efficiency, really. I mean, we had it last time because we played him last time in that Cincinnati game. And it more than worked out, and he was a very popular play then. It's very close. The fact that it's funny, the value on DeGrom is so high, and it's the only reason I think Stripling is not in one of the top lineups, right? Like, just because DeGrom is also, in my mind, similarly mispriced. So it's very, very, this is a long-winded way to say it's very close. He's not a must play. I'm a little worried about the innings. The win is going to be a very difficult pull for him, and you simply don't get guys this cheap. What do you think about Ivan Nova, though? Nova gets the Padres. He's 6,400. Another guy who, from a points per dollar standpoint, our system likes, doesn't like him better than Stripling, but the fact that he is just projected for more raw points because he is a favorite and gets
San Diego.
And he's going
to go deeper in the game, theoretically.
Yeah, he goes a lot of innings.
I mean, Nova's like a classic DraftKings pitcher 2 type to me. The 7Ks per 9, I think, is about what you can expect based on his historical track record, averaging 5.5 innings per start, low walks. You know, like he's just, when you look up DraftKings pitcher 2 that you're not excited about but will play in the dictionary, ought to be Ivan Nova's face based on this season's track record. The Padres are kind of funny. You know, they really stink, generally speaking, but it's always hard to trust their season-long numbers. Against right-handed pitching, that's they're leading the league in strikeouts per 9 or strikeout percentage and bottom 3 in terms of WOBA. So like a truly, truly terrible team. Obviously, they won't be hitting in their normal, terrible home park, and that changes things up a bit for them. When you get the Padres on the road, not just kidding, they're exactly the same. They're just horrendous coming and going. That's funny. I had a different tab open that I was looking at, but yeah, the Padres are simply horrible. So yeah, good matchup. I think there's a high floor here. I think if you want to compare it to Stripling, I would guess the floor on Nova is a little higher, simply because, you know, he's just got a longer track record. We kind of know what we're going to get with him. But I think the points per dollar ceiling on Stripling, like they could have the exact same start and I wouldn't be surprised. And saving that 2,200, especially if it means you're going to be spending up for Scherzer, certainly makes a material difference. So, yeah, I think either guys, that's why I called it a toss-up. I think both are pretty interesting options. Maybe Nova gets the nod slightly just because of the higher floor and the much, much higher chance to get a win here, being actually favored in the game versus Stripling, who's a plus 187 dog to Scherzer in the Nats. So maybe that ultimately tips the scales in his favor, but either I think I would be fine with based on the numbers.
And one thing I just want to point out, because I was just thinking about this, because this happened last night with the Pirates in San Diego, and it's not really, and look, every matchup is a new day, so not to say that anything's going to happen, but it made me think of something that happened last night. Last night we saw reverse line movement against Cool leading into lineup lock, so he was a pretty heavy favorite, and then the line for him kept, so just in terms of reverse, if you don't know what reverse line movement is that a majority of the amount of bets were coming in on the Pirate side with Cool, but the line was continuing to swing toward the Padres, meaning that institutional money or big money, let's call it smart money in this case, were hammering the Padres side of this. So, and then, I mean, look, I'm going to use this in quotes. It turned out to be quote unquote correct. So it wasn't correct in the sense that anything could happen. It worked out in favor of the people that went that way because the Padres did get the Cool. But one thing, and I'm bringing it up because it is one thing that you want to watch leading into lineup lock, that, you know, if a line is moving, like where is it moving in favor of, and like why is it moving? And I know it's presented an interesting use case about it. And not to say the same thing is going to happen again, but something that of all the things you can look at going into lineup block, it's just another one they kind of want to keep an eye on, keeping track of some of those odds and where they're coming in. All right, before we get to some of the bats that are on this main slate of games, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go to play those salary cap game formats like you're used to without having to play against all the sharks putting in hundreds of lineups. They offer salary cap games for all of the major sports. Right now, they're right in the throes of baseball season, offering a really cool progressive home run derby contest as well. So head on over, check them out, FantasyFactor.com. I'm sure they'll have free rolls. You know, they offer free rolls all the time. So yeah, check them out and get started.
All right, we talked about a couple of these arms. There are some other good arms going on this slate that we're probably they're in weird. I'm just going to mention them here because they're in spots where I'm not so incentivized to want to play them in a lot of different formats. But it also means we're not going to probably target against them. Charlie Morton's pitching here against the Indians. Just a guy that we don't really. Clevenger kind of going the other way. Zach Godley is out here, so there are other guys I think we can probably avoid. Blake Snell, guys you don't necessarily want to target. Either way, right? It's like you end up in some weird middle ground where it's like, why bother running this guy against the Indians, and also why bother running the Indians against him? Like, you just kind of fall into some weird pricing middle ground. That is not the case for some of these other guys. There are some real bad pitchers going on the slate today. I mean, with the mind, some of these teams are going to be tough to spend up for, I think, just because if we're thinking that Scherzer is something of a priority, or even, not so much DeGrom, because he's cheaper, but where do you want to start here with teams in good spots today that might be even worth it to pay up for, knowing that they're facing some true bums?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually kind of no shortage. I think a pretty interesting place to start is out in the Chicago-Texas game, mostly because I'd love to know what Matt Moore's face looked like when he woke up this morning and saw that he was favored to win a baseball game, where he was like, wait, hold on a second. Did you see the 7-8-2? Who could I possibly be facing? Do you think they, or maybe someone came into the locker room and was like, dude, just don't look. Your favorite today. Who do you think the White Sox are pitching against you today? And he's like, James Shields? No.
Keep one of their outfielders?
What? Yeah, exactly. Are they all hurt? They doing like one of those like bullpen games? No. Keep going.
Like, is their manager pitching for them? Like who's? Yeah.
So Matt, we got Matt Moore facing off against Carson Fulmer today in Chicago, and both these guys are simply the worst. I mean, it's one of the worst pitching matchups ever. I'm surprised, honestly, that the line isn't even higher than it is. But Matt Moore this season, just back up to his old ones, he managed to get even worse off of last year's pretty uninspiring 5.1 xFIP campaign by lowering his Ks per 9 by 1 and raising his walks per 9 by 1. So not exactly a recipe for success. People are just making absurd amounts of hard contact against Matt Moore right now, too. And he's particularly terrible against right-handed hitters. So I think you can basically target the cheaper end of that White Sox front end of the order. The White Sox are not necessarily a great team offensively, but I still think there's plenty of upside in there. Going back the other way, Carson Fulmer, he just looks like a poor man's Matt Moore in some ways. So I totally actually get this line. Last year, 6.2 xFIP. And granted, that was only in 23 innings. He just followed that up with 30 innings of 6.06 xFIP ball this year. So that's about literally as bad as it gets. I don't know that you'll see worse. And for him, it's a combination of control problems and giving up the long ball. So that's just a really great recipe for a stack going the other way. He's going to put guys on base. He gives up an absurd amount of fly balls with just a 30% career ground ball percentage. And, you know, people are making hard contact off him too. So, yeah, both sides of this game just look tremendous to me.
Well, the reason the line is low, it's one of these, it's not all rock and a hard place because these guys are both terrible, but both the offenses are terrible too, right?
So, like, that just means we're going to get him cheap, though. That's what I'm excited about.
I don't not want to play him. I'm not saying that. I'm just more saying that, like, when you look at both of these teams, you get two teams that, in their respective platoons, where they're facing, you know, versus the lefty versus the righty today, they both rank, I think, like 26th and 27th in the league in WOBA in these splits. And it's not
both are dead last in their divisions by at least 20 runs in terms of runs scored on the season.
Right. It's not like they're not running bad. Like, they have, when you look down the bottom of these lineups, you get like Keener, Falafa, Odor, Chirinos, and Guzman. That's the bottom four that Fulmer has to run through. Yikes. And then going the other way, Moore's got to go through. I mean, Matt Davidson's not bad. Palka, Anderson, and Engel. Though you throw some other lefty guys near the top of the lineup, they really can't hit lefties and strike out a ton. Like, Moncada leads off, and he's very good, but he also Ks like 30% of the time, right? So, like, when you're just, you know, I'm with you that you're getting out these guys all on the pretty cheap, and a lot of them in their respective better sides of their splits, especially some of these lefties for the Rangers, like Chu, and Mazzara is getting a little bit expensive. Profar is, you're always considering Profar simply because he plays shortstop, and whenever that's the case, that's such a tough position to fill. Gallo is the very definition of a boomer bust guy. Like, he's either hitting a home run or just getting out. Like, we've mentioned this before, but he has more home runs than singles for his career. I saw there was a GIF going around, or just a picture going around the other day of the shift against Gallo, and it was like something I'd never seen before. It was just every single guy, I think it was the Astros, every single guy in the Astros was to the left of, or excuse me, if you're from a bird's eye view, was to the right of second base, and all just standing there, and he just promptly grounded right into it. Like, he just can't, like just simply just couldn't even make the adjustment. It's like, I'm just going for it, dude. Like
the, he was just never 10 years old, and his coach never told him just like close your stance and see what happens because
no, because he was probably just hitting the ball 400 feet when everyone else was hitting it 200 feet, so it never really mattered.
Bench pressing his coach.
It's just simply unbelievable to see his numbers are getting. I guess it's just the new wave of baseball. Anyway, long story short, yes, this is the game to target. We have a little rain in the forecast, but U.S. Cellular in Chicago is one of the best hitters parks in baseball. I think we're in a good spot grabbing these guys on the cheap. I don't mind grabbing some of these Twins guys either. They're coming pretty cheap. They're a team that's struggled a little bit with the offense. They're another one where if you look down the bottom of the lineup, it's a lot to not get excited about. Grossman, Buxton, Adrianza. There's a reason these guys are coming cheap. They also get to face Brent Suter, who is not a... So one of the problems you have with some of the guys in the Twins lineup is they do strike out a lot. Dozier will strike out the aforementioned Buxton in the bottom of the lineup will strike out a lot. I like targeting a guy like Suter who he's just an average pitcher. ERA is over five. He's probably a little bit better than that. He's more of like a mid fours xFIP guy, but he only strikes out seven guys per nine. He's really just living and dying off just trying to get ground balls, but that's actually been a problem for him this year. With only 30, he went from a 45% ground ball guy last year to 32% ground balls this year, and that's just the very wrong direction for him. Because if you're a ground ball pitcher and you can't, because if you already don't strike people out, you have to get ground balls. And when you're not doing either, then you are in you need to be sent to the minors basically. Because
of course
you can be a heavy ground ball guy, but it has to, you have to make sure it's happening, and it's just not simply not happening for him. So I understand why the Twins line is up there trending right up toward five implied runs for a team that is coming strictly in the middle tier of pricing. And they're another team that will play platoons, especially in the middle of the lineup, which the reason that's important is because when you are strictly a platoon guy, when you play every day, but you're a heavy platoon guy, your price tends to stay low because you're so bad against thing that you never give yourself a chance to have your price increase. So I think that's the other thing that we're seeing with the Twins. So I don't mind going that way. If we want to go to so those are two teams that are kind of trending on the cheaper side. There's one of these some of these expensive teams are in good spots too. That we could see upwards of six runs for. Is there any of these teams that you maybe think if we're going to pivot out of Scherzer and just pay up for some bats? Do you like any one of these stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a fairly long list of really good hitting teams that have great matchups today as well. I mean, the Red Sox, they seem to just get the best matchup every day. I don't know exactly how that works. It's becoming kind of a chicken or the egg problem. Like, have they scored so many runs this season because they're awesome or because they just get the Alex Cobb of the day on any given day? I'm not totally sure about that. But again, they have Alex Cobb again today. Fewer than 5 Ks per 9 is remarkable. To strike out that few guys, it's like actually actively difficult to do that. 1.84 walks per 9. So basically, he's not striking anyone out. He's really not walking a lot of guys too, which means if you're looking to stack for big tournaments and you really want to try to put big numbers on the board, the Red Sox are in a perfect spot there. Another fairly expensive team that our system is actually calling out even for cash games right now is the Blue Jays. They go up against Brett Anderson, again, of just the startling 8.16 ERA following up on last year's 6.34 campaign. The xFIP isn't quite as bad, but the system, and I think projection systems in general, we're having a difficult time figuring out what to make of Brett Anderson right now because basically the xFIP is so much lower than the ERA, mostly because it doesn't expect... projection systems aren't going to expect him to give up so many home runs because he just still is like a fairly elite ground ball pitcher in terms of generating ground balls. 57% if he manages to qualify this season, which I would be shocked at. That would be among the top 10 or so in terms of ground ball percentage. But he just does nothing else. I mean, he's walking a ton of guys, walking 4 per 9, striking out just 5 per 9, can't make it through 5 innings to start. And the Blue Jays, you know, they're not quite the lefty killers that they have been in the past, but they're still doing fine. So, you know, like right now, I think Martin and Donaldson, without looking, I think those guys are right there among the top of our system. And I'm sure there are other Blue Jays you could pick from as well. So yeah, the Red Sox and Blue Jays, I think both are totally playable today.
Yeah, really, that whole top of the lineup, Donaldson is one of the elite lefty killers. You mentioned Martin. Justin Smoke is on the better side of his splits against lefties. So he's, he's a switch hitter, but he's been better for his career against lefties. So really, yeah, the entire top of that. For some reason, I just said Justin Smoke, and I had one of those moments where I was like, I just didn't think his name was Justin for a second. Like, you said, like, ever, like, spell a word, and then you just think, like, that's not how you spell where. And then you just look, like, no, that is how. Just for some reason, my brain is just misfiring and going cross-eyed today. It's like the Yanni or Laurel debate that's really making me question my existence.
Real quick, I can't believe we're talking about this on the podcast, but which one do you hear? I just went for my own sanity check.
I hear Laurel so definitively that I thought you hear Yanni?
Oh, yeah. And I thought all... I thought the Laurel people were all made up, but I actually trust you enough that I think you actually hear it.
I thought my family was gaslighting me yesterday because, like we were sitting there listening to it, and my kid can't read, and this is actually how I knew she wasn't lying, because she can't, like, sound out the letters that she was seeing on the thing, and she was like, oh, it's Yammy. And they were just and I was, like, fully convinced that my wife had gotten to her early and told her, to say that it's this thing, and we had, like, a very long debate about it. There's actually another one going around. I mean, we're way off the rails here. There's another one going around where it's a audio frequency thing, where if you think the word, that's the one you hear. If I think about it, I'll put it in the show notes. But
no way.
Send
that to me. I don't believe in that one.
I didn't believe it either. I listened to it 50 times in a row yesterday, and actually just changed the brain pattern of what word I was thinking of to, like, think about this thing 5 times in a row. And think about this one 5 times in a row, and like,
or that sounds like magic. Let's put that in the show notes for people.
I felt like I wasn't living in the Matrix. Anyway, we're gonna get out of here. I'm too, my brain's too screwed.
Real quick, one more pitcher. Homer Bailey's pitching tonight, and I think that we would be negligent to not mention him. He's going up against the Cubs, so another one of those expensive teams. Right now, our system is only finding room for like a Cub if you can afford it into optimal lineups, and that's only on FanDuel and DraftKings. It can't find room for any of them, but Bailey is he's like Brett Anderson's peripherals, but also more fly balls. So just completely terrible. Just a lot of those really bad pitchers. It's actually a really, like, if you want a night with a relatively high floor or more consistency than usual, I actually think tonight's a really, really strong slate to target. So I'll be in the chat tonight from 6 to 7, and hope to see you guys there.
All right, dfsr.com/MLB will get you that free 3-day trial. It includes a members-only chat, which James just mentioned, and also optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. So go check that out. Free for 3 days, and then just $29.95 a month after that. To all you Laurel people out there, congratulations that your brain is working properly. To all you Yanny people out there, I don't really know what to tell you. We'll see you again next week on Tuesday when we are back for the podcast. Buddy, enjoy your weekend.
Peace.